हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव हरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 40. When a mortal being gives up all karmas, completely gives up the desire for varnashram dharma, and gives eye and mind, nivedita, to me, in the form of the guru, when he decides with determination, I offer whatever I have in this life and the next for the feet of the Lord, then I desire to make that person special. Vichikshitaha. Though he arises from false conception, I will make him devoid of the gunas, nirguno mad aparashraya. He surrenders to me is beyond the gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:25-26. Not being affected by Maya, he is not temporary, but eternal. Since he is not affected by ignorance, he is not false, but based on his sarup. Because he is the effect of me, he is beyond the gunas. The verse does not say, I make him special, but I desire to make him special. Using the desi derivative case, the affix, this means that I begin to make him nirgunya, rather than suddenly making him beyond the gunas. Gradually, by practicing bhakti and ascending through the stages of nishta, ruchi, and ashakti, he comes to rati and then becomes completely nirguna. Then at that time, he will not interact with false objects at all. Previously, he interacted with the material world as much as necessary. The meaning is this. By the Lord's inconceivable energy, at the time of giving instructions on bhakti, body, senses, and mind, which are beyond the gunas, are created by me, though invisibly, in order to show the greatness of bhakti. The material body, senses, and mind are destroyed invisibly. Such power is not surprising for persons who have conquered the six senses by the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord, since even an outcast becomes immediately freed from bondage of karma by chanting the Lord's name once. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:135. The meaning is this. It is not surprising for such persons to create the world with seven oceans as Priyavrata did. Even the outcast, Vidura Vigata, who chants the name of the Lord once, immediately, Adhuna, gives up this body. Though this body is still visible, he gives up the body related to Parabdha Karma, though this is not seen. Then the devotee attains Amritattva, an absence of the symptoms of death, and is qualified for his position, Atma Bhavya. This means that he remains to serve me wherever I am. This is still explaining Srimad Bhagavatam 11:29-34. Right, which one was that? 34. This one. The method of attaining bhakti is explained by the Lord. A person who gives up all karmas and offers himself entirely to Guru, whom I desire to make special, achieves freedom from death, and more important, is qualified to be associate of mine in prema. Right? So all this is then explaining that. All the false material objects which exist in this world lose their material qualities by association with bhakti. Right? Because material qualities means because the idea is what you can gain from it, sense gratification. Right? Because you're dealing with the secondary aspects. Right, because the bhakti means you're going to be using secondary aspects to serve the Lord with. That's what bhakti means, right? Engaging the senses in the Lord's service. So the senses means they're engaging with sense objects, which means the secondary. And that's all being done for the purpose of pleasing Krishna. In relationship to Krishna, the activity to please Krishna, the results to please Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? So all that's going on in that case. So, therefore, there's nothing material about it. Though, we see the form is still there. That's why he says invisibly it all disappears. It's disappearing, but what disappears is the concept. The body can still remain because it's Krishna's energy, but it's not seen anymore in relationship to Maya. So giving up Maya means you give up measuring everything according to sense gratification, what can be gained. Then you start measuring according to how it's connected to Krishna. That's the difference between Mahamaya and Yogamaya. Mahamaya means I measure everything by sense gratification. I see a situation of what can I get from this. If I can get something, I'm interested. If I'm not, I won't. Right? But the measurement is material. Right? Then spiritual, then the measurement means, Yogamaya means the measurement is how it will please Krishna, how to please Krishna in this situation. Does that make sense? You know, working from the root of Maya meaning miyate, to measure. Right? So yoga maya means to measure in connection with Krishna. Mahamaya means to measure without Krishna. Right? It means Krishna, his satisfaction. Yes. It answered, okay. Seth, you were good? Okay. All the false material objects which exist in this world lose their material qualities by association with bhakti. Right? The Lord makes those objects the highest truth. Right? Because anything you can see in relationship to Krishna. So then when you see what's of quality of it, you see it in relationship to Krishna. So you're Krishna conscious from that. Now whether you're going to act in that situation or with elements in that situation, then that's up to what's favorable for Krishna's service. Right? So you, your position, what's there, what service is to be done. So there may be situations in which there's no technically service to do. In other words, you have nothing to transform, no part in transforming that energy to get a result for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's not that you can't be Krishna conscious in that situation. Right? By looking at everything, seeing it, you see it all connected with Krishna. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, you see somebody with their dog, right? And you see the interaction between the dog and who's with the dog. So you're understanding that these are souls, they're part and parcel of Krishna, that's why they have the moods, they're conscious, they function within relationship, they're trying to be happy, you know, there's interaction. These are all because of the nature of the soul being part and parcel of Krishna and the relationship interacting with Krishna, right? So then you're seeing the souls there. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to interact, they're trying to do according to their position. You know, so you have a human, you have a dog, and so the dog's going to act in dog ways, humans in human ways, and that's the way they're going to work it, right? So the human's going to throw the stick, the dog's going to go chase it and bring it back. Not the dog will throw the stick while he sits there, you know, how you say, drinking his pina colada, and the human will be running after the stick. No, it's not going to work like that. So they have a relationship that's established by the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So, these things come from the universal form, this and that. So however far you want to take it, however much it reminds you of Krishna. You know, or from there is that Krishna is interacting with his devotees, and that reminds you of his interaction with the devotees in Vrindavan. And so it just, you know, goes on and, you know, no more guy and dog anymore. Right? So because that situation reminds you of Krishna, that doesn't mean now you go over and you interact with the dog or you go get yourself a dog. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point, is that that's where the Varnashram simply defines, okay, in the body you have, in the conditioning you have, what it is, what situations you take part in. But being Krishna conscious, and that's not what Varnashram is. Varnashram simply defines, are you supposed to do something here or not? Does that make sense? It's just like, let's say we're worshiping the deities. Right? So then there's offerings, there's artiks. Right, dressing the deity, waking them, putting them to sleep. Right, all those things are going on. Cooking for the deities. So these are all devotion. You can take part in any of them. But when do you take part? According to the schedule. The head pujari makes a schedule, and then you're doing whatever it is, noon artik, you know, for this week, but next week, you know, then it'll shift because someone else is not there and this and that, and you know, like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what Varnashram does. Varnashram is the schedule. Right? It's just that, you know, it's on a bigger time frame. So in this lifetime with this particular body and consciousness, then you're doing these services. Last life, you're doing something else. Does that make sense? So that's what it is. That's the use of Varnashram. It's like the schedule. It's simply for organizational. Because that's what makes it work. You say, oh, we're not this body and this. Oh, I'm not this schedule and that. I can do whatever I want and that. And I walk in with the puja paraphernalia while the other person's already doing the artik. And what are you doing here? I was just walking by and I felt that need. I had to come in and do something for the deities and all that. You're going to stop me from doing that? You don't want me to do service for the deities and all that? Are you a demon and all that? That someone has these feelings and you're trying to squash these feelings and all that? You know it. Yes. So that's the whole point, is that we don't want to. That's why Varnashram's there. It has something. It's just that's the schedule now. Because we're not the body. So that's the whole point. You're not the body, but you're in this body. So then this body does what it's supposed to within the Varnashram system. So that's why it says we're not interested in Varnashram. That doesn't mean we don't follow it. It means we're not interested in it. Just like, let's say, you can say no, but if you're not interested, it means you don't do it, right? How many guys on this planet are really interested in their job? You know? Getting on the train, riding 2 hours to wherever it is, you know, going through the traffic and all this and that, working in an office with people they hate, you know, drinking coffee that's terrible, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And therefore, because they don't like their job, they don't identify, they shouldn't do it, right? According to this philosophy. Right? No, but they do it. Why? So that's the whole point, is that Varnashram, it's not something that we gives up the desire for Varnashram, doesn't mean we don't follow it. Does that make sense? You know, it's not about Varnashram, because when you give up Varnashram means you're giving up the benefits you'll get from it. Because Varnashram means you're performing karmas. And these karmas give results. So you give up the attachment to that, and that you're performing that because of those results. You're performing it simply because, otherwise, how do you define where you are in the program? Right? So unless you've defined, here's the deities, here's the head pujari, this is the paraphernalia, you know, this is incense, this is a lamp. You know, unless you can define these things and see how do you use them, how do you take part. So we just put it all together and make it into a lovey-dovey mush, then, you know, how much deity worship goes on. Like that. Or we can all hold on to the lamp together. Like that. Yeah. You know, but this guy wants to. He wants to do the feet more. He really liked that. And the other guy wants to do the head, like that. Yeah, that's what we'll have. Yes. Okay. The Lord makes those objects the highest truth, right? So you see them all in relation to Him, favorable to the desires of His devotees, right? So, how the devotee likes to see Krishna, that's then how it's going to be seen. Because there's so many aspects that are there, right? Because Krishna is unlimited. So any one situation, seeing it in connection to Krishna, you can see so many things, right? You have all the apara vidya is all working at once, right? It's not that when Ayurveda is functioning and the planets stop, you know, they're about to move. Oh, sorry, Ayurveda's going on, you know, like that. And then, does that make sense? No, they all go on together. So, according to the desire of the devotee, by their conditioning or by their attraction to Krishna, they'll be interested in certain aspects to serve Krishna. So, therefore, then all those objects, what they perceive, right? Because there's unlimited objects, but how many things do we perceive? Like, I remember once I was talking with the temple president, and I was saying is that I was pointing out that the temple is really dirty. We have to clean the temple. And he said this, and he mentioned to me, he says, you'll have to do that because I don't see that. He says, I could walk into the temple and on the veranda there could be this huge pile of garbage. I wouldn't see it. because I'm thinking of other things, you know, about the preaching the life membership, how to do programs, how to invite people, how to, you know, what kind of programs to do and things like that. He says, I can't see that. So there, you know, he just asked, are you pleased if you can see the dirt? Now, I thought it was clean, you know, but if you say it's not clean, then you clean it because I can't see it. So that's the whole point, is people see according to their nature.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So then that's why Varnashrama is there, is everyone takes part. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, yes.
This particular point, many devotees seem to be speculating a lot that, you know, I have a special relationship with Krishna and he has particular form according to how I speculate. But that's not what it is, because, you know, we have books and there's, you know, so many forms, unlimited forms of the Lord. But it has to match. It's not like we can speculate and meditate on any form and then get Krishna as our Lord, because it's not working like
yes,
that. It's
yes.
a science.
Yes.
So how can we...
So you're pointing out that Ramses might have been wrong. Okay.
I mean, it's a stretch.
That's what I'm saying. I'd say Moses had a better idea.
Yeah, Moses... You know, he wouldn't speculate. He just heard the sound.
Yeah. So the point is that what is in Shastra, how it's defined in Shastra, that's why his form, his mood, his quality, they're always defined. Like you see, whenever there's a pastime of interaction with the devotee, there's always a definition of the Lord and what he looks like.
Yeah.
And the particular mood that's there, particular activities, like that. So those are the things we have to do. So that means then we have to be following the footsteps of devotees. Because then that brings us in line with those forms. So we can't mix all those all up. You know, it's like, I think one day, one of our, you know, prominent painters, the ISKCON painters, then he had made this pastime where Krishna was, like, you know, dressed to the teeth, you know? Does that make sense, that one? I guess it's an American means, you know, really decked out. That's another one. Dressed very, very nicely. But, you know, how you say? It was dressed in a way that when we think of him with the gopis, you know, like that full ornamentation, full kind of things, full presentation. Yeah. Like with the Cowherd Boys, they may do simpler is better. Mm-hmm. But it was a full dress like for the gopis. And he was standing there with this, you know, threefold bending form and his flute and all this right in the center of the painting. And then, you know, just behind, you know, there was a tree, big tree there. There are Cowherd Boys jumping out of the tree and doing all kinds of crazy things that the Cowherd Boys do. And he took this to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, what pastime is this? You know? And, you know, he says, oh, just trying to make, you know, Krishna, and they can look. He says, the Prabhupada said, don't speculate. He says, you use what it says in the Shastra. Because it always starts with the place, and then it defines Krishna. So here is that he had put Krishna dressed like with the gopis and playing the flute like he was calling the gopis. So it would be like, you know, that picture of where Krishna is playing the flute and Radharani is offering the flowers.
Yeah.
You know, kneeling, that old painting.
Yeah.
So it'd be like if it was that Krishna, then with, and in the backdrop, and no Radharani, was all these Cowherd Boys going crazy. Mm-hmm. So it's a speculation. He just took, you know, he liked this, and he liked that, and he liked a tree. And so you have to go by the definitions. Otherwise, then we'll come up with some weird stuff, and it's Rasa Bas. Is that, you know, because here you want to deck him out making opulent, but that is, but from what point? Because Radharani's not there, so the opulence, then that becomes opulence. You know, and then you have Cowherd Boys, and then, you know, Cowherd Boys, opulent, they don't go together. You know, so you're taking things from one thing and another and ending up with something completely different. You know, if I take a bunch of sugar and a bunch of salt and a bunch of something sour and I put them all together, I end up with a chutney. You know. Though I'm thinking I'm going to get, you know, all these different separate things. You know, I'm not going to get a salty preparation, you know, and a sweet preparation and this. I'm going to get a chutney. You know. Is that, you know. And, yeah. So that's why then it has to be according to the definition that's given. Because it's not about us. It's about our relationship with Krishna. So we go, oh, it'd be nice to do this and do that. But the point is this, yes, but we're thinking about the secondary. It's got to be, that service is done because of it being the medium to express a certain feeling. Does that make sense? Does that work?
Yeah, because I'm thinking primary and secondary. So we think basically about ourselves, which in Krishna pastimes, we are secondary. But to accept that, it's not an easy thing.
But yes, but that's what it means to surrender. We have to at some point accept it. Because otherwise, our position won't be established. Because it's like this. When Krishna is playing the part of the demigoddess and talking with Radharani about her affection, because she was saying she had some problem, you know, like this, and then what about you, and this and that, and then Radharani is explaining about Krishna, and then she brings up, the demigoddess brings up some points, you know, with the, you know, connection with the Rasa dance and this and that. And so then that Krishna had left, you know, her and these others and this and that, and you know, he had left the gopis, then he had left her, and you know, how that all, you know, worked out. How is he, you know, how do you relate to all that? And Radharani is pointing out that she, you know, her position, who she is, then she is the embodiment of love for Krishna. Everyone else is her expansion, just like Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all other Vishnu forms are expansions of Him. Though, it's Him, but it's still expansions of Him. So the full manifestation of Krishna is in Braja Krishna, therefore the full manifestation of His energy is in Braja Radha. Right? So, therefore it's because of her love for Krishna. The nature of that, that's why you see Braja Krishna. She's the Ashray, He's the Vishay. So the Vishay manifests according to the Ashray. Right? And so, therefore, we have to understand is yes. And so, then that gives rise to yes. So, I'm the ashray of this kind of feelings towards Krishna. But the point is where's the parampara in between? Because you have to have that line. So, in Braja, it's Radharani. In Dwarka, it'll be Rukmini. In Vaikuntha, it'll be Lakshmi. So, that manifestation of the Lord in that realm is only because of, means Rukmini sees Krishna, and how she sees Krishna, that is the manifestation of Dwarka Krishna that we can know. We can't know Krishna in Dwarka without her. Like that. So if we try to directly, we're 110,000 at the tip of the hair, what are we going to draw out of Krishna? You know? What are we going to, you know, so we're giving ourselves too much credit. So, but when you connect to the parampara, then that full benefit of that, of the line there and of their vision, then we can connect to that. And then within that environment, then we can render service. So our only connection to Braja Krishna is through Radharani. And our only connection to Radharani is through Rupa Goswami. And our only connection to Rupa Goswami is through the previous acharyas. And our only connection to the previous acharyas is through Srila Prabhupada. Right? And then, from the founder, then all others are representing him. Right? They're not representing themselves. They're representing him. Right? And then he's representing the previous acharyas headed by Rupa Goswami serving Srimati Radharani. And she's serving Krishna. So, we technically are not in any way ever directly serving Krishna. Physically we can directly serve, but in relationship it's not there. It's not the way it is. And you wouldn't want it to be, because it'll be so much greater. So as you're saying in that story, that she's pointing out that Krishna's satisfaction with her is complete. And since everybody else is an expansion of her to that degree, then they can only offer a certain amount of happiness. Right? So, she's like, her love is like Meru. Others are like a mustard seed. So, therefore, then, to establish that point, that's why that pastime went on. Because all these millions of gopis, they think they're so special and important, it's all about them and Krishna, as you're discussing. And so Krishna left, because how much do you get from a mustard seed? He cares about the mustard seed, but only in connection with Mount Meru. So it was only when they would accept Radharani's supreme position, and therefore their surrender and love for him went through Radharani, then the Rasa dance happened. So then it's Mount Meru plus a million mustard seeds. Otherwise, a million mustard seeds are just a bunch of mustard seeds. But when you add those to Meru, then that becomes special. So that's the importance of the parampara, is that you get all of that. Otherwise, you want to do it on your own, then you don't have anything. You know, so this modern thing, no, but I'll go out on my own, we'll make it on myself. Because then it's about yourself. You know what I'm saying? The band is together. They're making great music. And they have to work together. But then they become proud, and each one thinks my music's better than the other guy's music. So they go off on solo careers. How well does that ever work out? Right? Very rare that it ever works out nicely. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that you already have the thing. We just have to connect ourselves to that. It's not a matter of we're creating something. We're just fitting in where we belong within the thing. You know what I'm saying? The screw fits into the machine. Not that the whole machine is manifest from the one screw. You know, it's not like archaeology. You know, we found a tooth, and then we end up with this whole monster, you know, dinosaur like that. Does that make sense? So then it has to be careful, is that it's about Krishna and the love between Krishna and the devotees, and we can join that. That's our position as jivas. We're joining something. The internal potency is connected to Krishna, and we're connected to the internal potency. Or, as now, we're connected to the external. Right? So we're indirectly serving Krishna. Well, if we connect to the internal, then we can be in that direct line to serve Krishna. But we're always going to be serving the internal potency. We're never going to be directly have a relationship. Does that make sense? We can directly serve, but we don't have a direct relationship. You know, like the grandchild can directly interact with the grandparent, but he'll never have a direct relationship, because if he does, he's not a grandchild anymore. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the point. That's just the way it is. So when we accept that we're jivas and this is the way it is, then it makes life so much easier. You know, because that's what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. You know, one of the amazing things in the material world. You know, on that list about how everyone is dying, but the individual thinks I'll never die. You know, that's like the first one. Then another one that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said is how the small thinks they're so great. You know, like that.
What?
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Prabhu's question is one extreme. The other extreme is that, you know, devotees, they usually say that the deities that we have in the ISKCON temples. So, discussing about the form of Krishna, they say that, well, this is Krishna, this is Madhava. But in reality, you know, when we go back to Godhead, Krishna is something else. He is very, very much Vilakshana, you know. We cannot.
Vilakshana.
Lakshana.
With Lakshana.
He's extraordinarily inconceivable.
Extraordinarily inconceivable.
And therefore, we cannot, have that into Madhav. That is what
you can't have that understanding into Madhav.
Is it not that they are directly attacking the authority of the acharyas? Because scriptures
define. Wait. Here. Now the question is how it would be here. Now, yeah, means is that we have the aspect, but that's not the topic right here. The topic is the specialness. So he says gradually. So when you say is that specialness that's there in Krishna's form and his pastimes, the manifest pastimes that he's part of, then of course there'll be that amazing unlimited qualities of Krishna and the appreciation of that, because you're on the transcendental platform. So when an individual then makes a distinction between Krishna and the deity like that, that you can't see that here, they are correct in that they are so materially covered they can't see it. But the deity is Krishna.
Yeah.
Directly, it's that same person. So therefore, then when you come, Lord Chaitanya, he's looking at Jagannath. He's seeing Braja Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
It's explained. Because the point is, yes, it's Jagannath, that's the form, but it's Braja Krishna. What did the gopis see when they saw Dwarka Krishna in Kurukshetra? They see Braja Krishna, but he's dressed up like a king.
Mm-hmm.
But it's Braja Krishna dressed up like a king. So therefore, they're correct in that their mundane consciousness won't allow them to see like that. And those who are on the transcendental platform, they'll see like this. Not that, this is not that, so I'm just going to focus on that transcendental. That's just revealing their mundane position. That's all. Because the point is that when you see, that's why Krishna says, Lord makes those objects the highest truth. That's just seeing something ordinary, and you see the highest truth. So, and that's just seeing it from there, going through directly, let alone the direct activities. That's the indirect activities he makes into the highest truth. Let alone the direct activities of the name, form, qualities, pastimes, the deities, the Bhagavatam, the association of Vaishnavas living in the Dham, serving the Dham, these kind of things like that. Serving Tulsi. So, that's their lack of vision. This all kinds of things is they're just trying to make it sound like their position, they're very advanced when they can't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I'm not seeing the transcendental aspect of the deity because the deity is what's not actually transcendental so much. It's that form that about Bhagavatam and that's it. So I'll meditate on that. That's why I'm not seeing it here, because not that I'm unqualified. It's just that the deity's less. So it's just false ego. It's just a prestigious thing. See, this is the problem when we take it that professional means that you're more advanced. This is the root of why it's a problem. If you think you're professional, you're scholarly, you're successful in the world, or any of these kind of mundane status things, then you have to interpret, like we were seeing before, is that if it doesn't match my position, there's something wrong with, you know, the position, not me. That's the weakness. You can engage, but that means then there's a desire for varnashram. I mean, in this case, you just take professionals and put them on the top of the pile. And then things like priests and everything are less than that. So it's like the Japanese system. No, it's not exactly, because Japanese put the businessmen right on the bottom. They consider them pond scum. I mean, really, they really don't like them. Because, you know, because they're just so materialistic, you know, just so, you know, like this. So they put the Kshatriyas on the top, then the Brahmins, then the Shudras, then the Vaishyas on the bottom. You know, you can see they got issues. But at the same time, as you see, is that, you know, their Vaishyas, once they do get in control, then they're really good. They just take over. So we're adjusting it. The Western, then they always put the Kshatriyas on the top and the Brahmins below that. You know, it's like, what was it? Can't remember what his name. Richard II and Becket. You know, didn't work out very good for Becket. You know, so you have this problem. It's always a problem that we're thinking. So all it is that the royal class has been replaced by the bourgeois. So the bourgeois means these professional people. Mm-hmm. People are to organize. So it's just broader, because that's the nice thing about bourgeois, is that it's a broader thing than the varnashram. So that can mean successful businessmen, you know, other professionals, even, you know, successful shudras who are like celebrities. Mm-hmm. You know, you can fit them all into there. So what we call now, you know, our top society, that's the bourgeois. And so they've replaced the Kshatriyas. And then Brahmins and all that kind of stuff is below that. Mm-hmm. So naturally, because they're the highest part of society, mm-hmm. automatically they're, when they switch into the devotional society, they're at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pujaris, Brahmins, there's something you engage to do something. We're doing this big preaching thing. Yeah, we have to have the Brahmins to do the yajna and all that. But the yajna and all that's just the thing that we're having a drama. We're doing this and that. It's just it's just part of the show. You know, it's like the variety show. You know, like that. You have many different people come on and do different things. So one of the varieties is it's just that. But we, because we're organizing it, we're the best.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So this disease, then that's just because the soul thinks himself more special than he is. So this is just a convenient way to apply it. If they were in a different culture, they'd apply it differently. But the point is that their prestige would be maintained. You know, just like in India, you see the Brahmins, though they're not actually Brahmins, they're just born in a Brahmin family, but because of the social prestige, I'm a Brahmin. I'm special. I'm better than anybody. like that. So it's the same principle of just wanting to be special and all that because of your position. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful of that. So it's not that that's how it works. The deity is Krishna. That's the point. It's Krishna. It may be a representation for us in this form because we just see matter. So because unless he was made of stone or appeared in stone or in metal, we wouldn't think it's Krishna. Because actually everything's Krishna, we don't see it. So at least this point will agree. That's the point. The neophyte will agree the deity is Krishna, but everything else is not, including the other devotees. Right? You know, so that's the symptom of neophyte. And so he has to see through that. But the point is it's Krishna who's that. It's just that you don't have the transcendental senses to see him that way. So therefore, then he comes like this. But the point is it's our realization, Krishna, what he reveals to us, not our qualified position. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that it always goes back. You can still see all these philosophies and the weaknesses in these. That's what everybody's doing. No one's doing anything separate than what the Vedas describe. It's just whether they're doing it in a scientific way, as the Veda describes, or an unscientific way. You know, it's just like, okay, let us say we have a trained domestic dog. Right? And, or even let's say, yeah, and we have a street dog. But the point is they're both dogs. They act as dogs. One may be a little more trained and one's less, but they're dogs. You know, they'll be a little more rough and ready, a little bit more, you know, more fleas, more mange. You know, like that, and maybe a little bit more easily agitated, or you know, like that. But the point is they're still dogs. So the same way as the soul is still going to be a soul, is when they're in the human form, they're still going to act within the human form. It means, you know, you use your hands to get things in your mouth and stuff like that. So they're going to follow that. You can tell, oh, that's a human, right? But the point is are they going to be scientific in their application of that human, like the trained domesticated dog, or are they going to be like a street dog? Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so that's all. So in other words, is it something that cultured people would say, or is it something that, you know, that you got street cred, so therefore then they're saying? So we have to remember, if we're using varnashram terms, then we're talking about cultured people. If we're using the term bourgeois, even though it's, you know, as good as it's going to get, right? It's French, right? You're not going to get better than that, but it's still on the street, you know. So what do you call it? The French are the most cultured on the street, like that.
Leading the path.
Huh?
Leading the way.
Yes, leading the pack of wild street dogs, you know, with finesse, and, yes. You know, like that. Is that okay? Yes.
One time, Janivas Prabhu was giving class, and he was telling, actually, Jayadeva Goswami has predicted that in future in Mayapur Radha Madhav will be the deity and he will be worshipped. So in that regard, Prabhu was telling that actually whatever Prabhupada has established, the deities, they are the eternal deities in the spiritual world.
Yes, they're eternal deities and they're the deity of the place. So in Prabhupada, Londoneshwar, it's not that over in London, so they are the deities of that region. It's just that now they're eternal, they're manifesting. So sometimes they're manifest, sometimes they're not. Prakat and aprakat. So before they weren't manifest, you couldn't see them. Now Prabhupada has manifest them. So there's stuff going on that's way bigger than our concept. We think we're just this kind of little side, you know, bunch of people, and then there's the real world. No. Prabhupada, he's giving, that's the real world. We're being given the chance to that. And then there's all these, you know, ragtag little groups that are going on. You know, it's just like if you put the guys in Mad Max in suits or something. You know, that's the way it works. You know, does that make sense?
The speculators are below neophytes.
Yeah, the point is that speculation means they're intelligent. So they're most intelligent of the materialists. But that doesn't make them qualified within devotional service. Does that make sense? You know, so that's the whole thing. Is just because that's there doesn't mean that you can function in that area. It's just like, let's say I have, you know, medical qualifications in, you know, a specified thing. You know, let's say, you know, heart. But that doesn't mean that now I can give directions on something to do with the liver. That's a different specialization. You know what I'm saying? So just because, okay, they're working in a business environment, but even within the business environment, they're limited. It means the company that they're in, can they go into any company they want in the world? No, only specific companies will take them by their experience. If they're an engineer, then they're not going to take them as a salesperson or, you know, someone like that. They're limited. So why in Krishna consciousness suddenly now it's so universal? It means the point that they're committed, they're focused, they're organized. That's the part that you bring to Krishna consciousness. Now, organize yourself, focus on Krishna consciousness, see that your sadhana is regular and steady. That's the advantage. But to say, no, I'm in this position there, then, well, you're not here. You know, it's just like, okay, you may have been the VP in some small little firm, but when you move into the big corporate world, you're just another guy. They don't come into the VP there. You know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole thing, is that we have to know how things translate. You know what I'm saying? I have one euro. Okay? How many rupees is that worth?
60,
70. Yeah, so it was a lot. So it goes, you know, you have to know the exchange rate. So that when you're dealing on spiritual, the material, you're talking even bigger than that. You know, thousands, you know, hundreds of thousands, you know, like that. So therefore, you're the big guy out there, but you're just another guy here. You know what I'm saying? How does your big degree get you to sweep the floor any better? Because that's what needs to be done. We're cleaning the temple room, you got to sweep the floor. So, no, I have these big, I can just do these bigger things. It's no. Because the point is that devotion is the big thing. These are symptoms, these are things that you use in big devotion, in devotional service. And so now, if you can do that big service with big devotion, then that's fine. Like that. But don't claim that you are superior, because if you're doing the big service with small devotion and they're doing a small service with big devotion, they're superior. You know? That's how it works. You know, that's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent that big, big famous scholar down to the Goshala to talk to the devotee at the Goshala, because he, of all devotees, from what I can see from the various stories, was very nicely situated in devotional service. Even though there were other devotees that were the big devotees, you know, the big preachers and sannyasis and managers and that, and he wasn't at all. But it wasn't that he wasn't very advanced. So he sent him to co-talk to him. Because then you want to talk about, you know, devotional service, here's the man to talk to. Because he wants to talk to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur simply because of the prestige, not because of hearing. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear about the absolute truth, hear from this person. Because prestige can't block the conversation. Because there is no prestige there on the material platform. So does that make sense? So you see, is that he was giving him the best opportunity. At the same time, he's quelling his prestige and all those kind of things like that. But he's trying to do that because otherwise, how do you remember Krishna? Remember, in the process that Lord Chaitanya gives is the full, you could say, like etiquette, the Vaishnava etiquette in a nutshell, is that the fifth point is remembering Krishna. It means if you're not humble, right, then you can't be tolerant. Which means you're forgiving of what happens to you. Right? Then it puts you in the next thing, is then you're not looking for respect, which means the situational and all the other people and everything there. Right? Then you're offering respect to others. In that state of mind, then you can remember Krishna always. But if they're always thinking that their prestige, their position, that means they didn't get past the first point, the humility. So we can see, is this devotee that he sent him down to, he had all these four in place. So that means he's able to remember Krishna always. Therefore, he's the man to talk to.
Right. So, same thing happened with Ramanujacharya also.
Ramanujacharya.
When sannyasi goes and asks, what is meant by surrender? Then he sends to one of his disciples' daughter, in her daughter-in-law's place, her in-law's place, to take care of Goshala. And she is pregnant, so she can't take care, so you go and serve her. So he was in different dress, he was taking care for many months. And after that one person comes, some argument goes. Then this Goshala person comes and answers that. Then they realize he is not Goshala person, he is the sannyasi disciple of Ramanujacharya.
Oh, okay.
Then he comes, I understood what is meant by surrender.
Oh, I surrender, okay. Yeah. So these things, you see, all the acharyas, then they establish these points. So in the past times, you always see these things of that surrender, you know. And then the various, because it's all about surrender, then various aspects of surrender. So they'll bring out that faith in guru, or that humility, or that not looking for respect, or, you know, all these different things. They're all aspects of the same thing. And so then in their pastimes, all these will come out. So these are the prominent pastimes.
And we say, like, because we are not following the Vedic system, because of which in today's world, like, everyone is hankering for this prestige. And,
That's no, everyone hankers for prestige anyway. It's just that the methods that they go about are not as prestigious as they could be. You know, does that make sense? That's all.
Maharaj, your mind mentions that the Lord makes the objects the highest truth.
Yes.
Favorable to the desires of his devotee. So the desires of the devotee are completely spiritual in favor of the Lord. That means this is what it means.
That means that that's what you're working toward. Just like I said before, it's gradual. It's a gradual process. So therefore, as the devotee does, then that's being revealed from there. Because just like makes those the highest objects of truth in a gradual way, then it also makes favorable the desires of the devotee. So the desire to serve Krishna, it's always going to be favorable to that. But now whether the desire of the devotee is pure so that the desire they have in serving Krishna is therefore about Krishna, not about something material, then we see as those desires can be fulfilled, just like Yudhishthira Maharaja's desire for the Rajasuya sacrifice. Right? You could say that's a material sacrifice, because Duryodhana wanted to do the same thing purely out of prestige, but Yudhishthira wanted to do it because it will establish Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, to all the leaders of the universe. Like that. So therefore he's fulfilling his desire that way. Means the secondary aspect of the desire he's fulfilling. But for all devotees, the primary, that you want to develop love for Krishna, or, you know, like that, that's always going to be. But whether the secondary be favorable for your that's a matter of, if you see the secondary connected to Krishna, then what's the problem in it being successful? But if you see the secondary not connected to Krishna, then what's the point of it being successful? Other than you'll get distracted from Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because we can say,
I have a little contribution with these functions of Maya, which I found.
Oh.
It's coming from the word Mayate.
Yes.
And this is interesting, I really find it, because it's quite detailed, it describes the functions of Mahamaya and Yogamaya at the same time. So okay. It means measure,
okay.
Then build, move, mark off, display, exchange, barter, and finally prepare.
So all the aspects that you would do, and the Sankarshan Prajumna Ariruddha Vasudeva aspects.
Amazing. It's mesmerizing to me how it exactly is.
Yeah, and it all goes back to root words. That's the nice thing about Sanskrit, is that the words, they their definitions, they all, it's all consistent. It all goes back to it. Because there's only, I think, 2,000 root words.
Verbs.
You know, like that. And from that, everything is built. And what we generally use is only 1,200. Like that. Well, in English, they'll say there's millions of words. But if you look at it, when they define Old English, they'll say it had a very small vocabulary, but because of grammar, then they could create so much. You know, and then they'll consider that as superior now, because now they have these, you know, collegiate dictionaries, you know, these big fat things, you know, like that, you know. So, I don't know, you know, thousands and thousands of pages, those kind of books. But that's only because people don't know grammar and don't know how to build the words. Well, before, people were so intelligent that they could build the words. So that means, you know, even the kids could do it. You know. So that's the thing, is Sanskrit so perfect, is that as you build the word, it exactly means the same thing all the way through. It takes on a particular flavor, because you have that root then can become any one of 24 different kinds of words. Right? It means you have the verb, which is there. Then you have the direct nouns, you know, there's 6 direct nouns. You have the verb, 6 direct nouns, and then you have 18 indirect nouns. They're secondary nouns. You know, and how, you know, and how, what, how verb changes the noun to verb, you know, keeps going back and forth. Does that make sense? So like that, then, you know, it's like, you know, yeah. Yeah. So all that is consistent. And that's why it's such a sophisticated language. Because then you can do all of that. Whatever you can do with language, it's there in Sanskrit. And other languages, then they bring out, they can do, you know, more or less of these things. Not more, but I'm saying, yeah, more or less in this case means not more than what the Sanskrit is, more or less within the context. So they can do more within what the Sanskrit offers, means they can do, you know, more towards 100% or less, depending on the area and things like certain languages. Science works very good, like French, anything to do with like the refinement and arts and feelings and all those kind of things, they have much more developed of than something like Irish. They have something like 40 words for different kinds of green. They can identify 40 different kinds of green because of the greenness that's in nature. So they can tell what's going on exactly by what green is happening. And they have words. Mm-hmm. I don't think in the modern, in the Gaelic. Yeah. You know, like that. And so that's the whole thing, is each language has its area where it's very well developed. You know, it's like in China, at least they say there's no word for God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just an area they didn't bother to develop. You know, martial arts, you know, niti, you know, politics, you know, these are that very developed, you know. But you know, God, not so much. You know, they were happy with the Brahman kind of level and didn't want to go beyond. So, is that so? Yes, that's very good. Thank you very much for that. Where did you find that?
Use special dictionary online, which is kind of quite consistent and really good.
Okay, so it brings out all.
I don't know what is their origin from.
Okay, it doesn't mention. Okay. But it's like if you go back, these like Yaska and those, the Nirupta, they go down to roots. So unless, like Nirupta, it's a very small dictionary. I think it's only about 100 pages. But it's the dictionary for all the Vedic words. Because unless you know Vedic grammar, you can't use it. It means, in other words, you know grammar, you can use it. That's another thing, is that you can see is how much Prabhupada knew, because he regularly quotes Nirupta.
Yeah.
Like that. So sometimes they'll take it, oh, Prabhupada just knew a little bit. No, Prabhupada knew Sanskrit way beyond, you know, like that.
Maharaj, so when we say Mayati, then we, whether it means, you know, Mahamaya, measuring Mahamaya, or measuring Yogamaya, the word is the same.
The root is the same. So the function is the same. It's just a matter of whether it's connected to Krishna or not connected. That's what makes the difference between the two mayas. It's connected. You're measuring, you're preparing, you're performing an action, whatever the mood is there, whatever, all these different things. It's all, is it in connection with the primary of pleasing Krishna, or it's not. It's just in interacting with the secondary. Both of them you're going to work with secondary. It's just a matter of whether the primary is included or not. Yoga Maya means the primary is included. Mahamaya means the primary is not included. But those positions will be, so that's why when you say about Maya or Yoga Maya, it's all encompassing. It includes everything that you do, not just a part. Okay, well that's okay there, but I'm talking about this. No, it means Maya means all of it. Whatever you're talking about fits within Maya. Because if it doesn't, how is it connected to Krishna?
Yes. So, yeah.
Okay, what is impossible for the inconceivable power of the Lord? Okay, so to be able to make all those things the highest truth and to work within, you know, fulfilling the, making things favorable for the desires of the devotee. You know, what's impossible to do? The statements, service to me is beyond the gunas and my abode is beyond the gunas are true. Right, so it is transcendental. So if it's about him, he's transcendental. And so we say the deity is non-different from the Lord. So therefore, as the Lord is transcendental, he is transcendental. But the point is, since we're not transcendental, that's why he manifests through his energy. You know, his external energy. He's manifesting through his internal, and that's the arrangement. But without some external, we can't see it. We don't see the transcendental position. Like Bhaktivinoda, of course, sitting in his house and seeing, you know, the manifest pastimes of Mayapur and Lord Chaitanya and all that. And we don't. We just see all these crowds on the road and it's very busy and noisy. Yes. Shankaracharya has accepted the following from Mahabharata, Udyama Parva. Achintya kalu ye bhava na tamstar kena yojayet. Prakriti pyaf param yatu tadach chintasya lakshanam. Inconceivable states are not subject to material argumentation. So that's the point, is that since it's inconceivable, it's beyond, it's not for argumentation. It's a matter of trying to understand it, but you can't argue, no, it's like this or that. No, it's just what Shastra says, what the Acharyas say. The quality and inconceivability is that it's beyond the material realm. So it can't be understood. So we can't use the argumentation. See, so he's shown that, and then he's, you know, given them something to keep themselves busy. Because as Maya bodies, then they're more open to the idea of following the Vedic culture and then doing a devotional service, then they don't have devotional service or the Vedic culture. Right? So the Buddhist position is a little bit less. Right? Does that make sense? Like, you don't see thriving Krishna conscious, you know, progress in, you know, serious Buddhist countries. Right? Because it's too much of a stretch.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? Because there's no God, and they don't follow the culture. Now in the West, they have a concept, there is God, they don't follow the culture. So on the God, the philosophy part, then they'll catch. Just the cultural part may be a little weak. Right? Is that?
Yeah. So Maharaj, how can we develop this vision or experience or realization for that thing?
It is by association, by hearing about it. See, now that we hear about it, now we become aware. Then when we're exposed to it, then we take note. Otherwise, we may be exposed to this a great time, but we don't connect the two together. So that's the whole point of manana, is that contemplation of how to apply what you're doing. Does that make sense? You have to be, means you hear about it here, then you'll, when you're applying it, then you'll start to notice its presence. Well, before hearing about it, you may be engaged in it, but there's no contemplation on it, so manana is not happening. Right, so after Shravana, then you'll get manana. Mm-hmm. Then you'll start to think about it and practice it.
Mm. And this is individual.
Yes, it's all individual. That's the perfection of the Vedic system, is that it has a standard by which everybody acts, but it also has a place for everybody to fit wherever they are manifesting at present. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, okay, the fruit is still growing. Where is it kept? right? On the tree,
yes.
Right? Now, it is to that point where you better pick it, otherwise the birds are going to eat it.
Yes.
But it's not, you know, fully ripe, so where is it kept? Right? And wherever you keep the fruit to ripen.
Yes.
Now, once it's ripe, now it goes into the fruit basket.
Yes. Yes.
You understand? So it's according to its position, that's where it's kept. So the Vedic system can accommodate all that. But modern systems will only accommodate a certain thing. You know, but they can't accommodate others. You know, the businessman is all about economics. So religion and things like taxing and other things like that, they don't like. But things only go on because there's religion and taxing and people do things. You know, or, you know, the socialist thing, it's all about the people and that they should get full benefits and, you know, and not be taxed. Then where's the money going to come from? You know, you want full benefits, someone's got to pay for it. So that means there has to be an economic system. You know, or you have dictators and it's all about administration and all that. But when it's too dictatorial, then the economics goes, the religion goes, everything goes. Right? And if it's all about scholarly, everyone will sit around being very scholarly and nothing will get done. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that you end up with these systems that they're not integrated. So the Vedic system, they're all integrated. The modern, they'll all be there, but they're just not integrated. So the Vedic, they're perfectly integrated. So then it can all work nicely. So therefore, we can get that according to our position that we can fit in at any time. Right? So as it mentions, even the previous quote was about how even the outcast, if they chant the holy name, then they're freed from the gunas. So we can fit in there. If we're acting like an outcast, then we can fit in there and we can chant and we have a position within the process. Maybe not within the Varnashram, but within the devotional process. Then as we become purified, then we start to manifest human qualities, then we may fit in there and engage that. So the idea is once we're aware of it, then we can place ourselves. But unless we're aware of it, then how do we place, how do we develop? Because you have to, this was Mayate or Miyate?
Mayate.
Because I think then that comes from something that goes back to Miyate or something.
It doesn't go back to Miyate. Miyate is a different word.
Miyate is a different word. But it also means to measure.
Mayate means to measure.
But Miyate also says.
It doesn't say.
So in reading through all this, then it didn't say. Yeah, I remember reading it. Otherwise, why am I saying miyate? It's much easier to remember mayate than it is miyate. See, is that the range of Sanskrit is way bigger. Do you know all 3,000? Do you know all the 10,000 sutras in the Panini grammar? And do you know all the Vedic grammar that Panini gave? Yes or no?
Mm.
No. So then, point is we've come across it, take it. It doesn't fit into what you know. It's like how you say, this is where the frog in the well example comes in. That's why it's given. It was specifically meant for the scholarly class of individuals.
It was a big frog.
Huh? It was a big frog, yeah. So he could really puff himself up. And he had a big well. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that you have to be able to see is that there are things that we may not know.
Oh. It's a surprise.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, like all the time you come across and, hey, what's this? You know. It's just that's the thing. So that's the whole point, is that that's where one's scholarship is tested, in how much your ability to accommodate. Just take the subtleties and move forward in that, the principles, the concepts. Because as you expand the concept, you actually expand your ability to work with the detail. But if you can only work with detail, then the problem is you're limited by your particular conditioning. How much detail your conditioning can absorb, that's it. Like I was saying, there's the one kid, most sincere student I've seen, and this one teacher, he was probably in his, could be late 60s, early 70s. And he had been a teacher his whole life, and a good teacher, you know. And, you know, working at, you know, big schools and running school, you know, like that. He was well established in the educational system. He said this is the most sincere student he's ever seen. But, and that student wanted to learn English so badly, but he didn't have a capacity to remember more than four letters at a time. And the teacher put in an effort solid for 2 years. And this is the guy that's developing our course. So he knew what he was doing. And he put in the special time and energy and extra like that. And that he couldn't get past four letters. He learned A, B, C, D, and he's good. As soon as he learns E, he forgets A. Then when you show him A, then he'll forget something else. He couldn't accommodate literally more than four letters. So after 2 years, then he says he can't get him beyond this. So we have to know is that our conditioning is limited. But on the devotional platform, then there is no limit. So that's why we have to always go and start from the concept, then come back in. But if we just try to go from secondary to secondary to secondary and think that if we put all that together, then that will mean the primary, then it's not our philosophy. Mm. It'll be weak.
Maharaj, then when you speak like in ISKCON, when we give initiations, so then it is based on first Shravan, then Manan, whether the person has reached the platform of Nidhihasana or not. But at Manana, the initiation has been given so that by the connection with the parampara, then he comes to the platform of Nididhyasana.
By practice, yes. Yes. Because Nididhyasana happens because you're contemplating. See, now here's what's happening. Is why don't we see this Manana happening in the modern context? You know, or even in the Vedic context, but let's say in the material context. Because there's two aspects, karma and jnana. Mm-hmm. Right? So a karmi, having heard, is going to apply because he can see the benefits. Mm-hmm. And a jnani, because he's heard, he's going to contemplate. Mm-hmm. That's where the problem is. Mm-hmm. The jnani won't apply, yeah, and the karmi won't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He won't analyze it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why when the Upanishads mention manana, they're meaning transcendental. They're meaning devotional service. They're not meaning an intellectual process or a process of karma, because you can't have manana unless you apply it. So that's the thing, is we contemplate it intellectually, we see, we analyze it, we use the shankhya, we use the logic and all that, but we're applying it practically. So that combination will give you Nididhyasana. And if you don't use both, you won't get it.
Yeah. Karmis or Pujyanis, for them to act, they still have to think. It might be very short.
Yeah, but they're only thinking enough to just apply it, not about what's the bigger concept of it. And how
so
it.
We think about the bigger.
Yeah, yeah. In other words, what's the... Now, in the practical world, what's the problem with the intellectuals? It's not practical, it's theoretical. And for the intellectuals, what's the problem with the general populace? They don't use the brain to see that bigger picture. So that's what manana means, is you see the bigger picture and you practically apply it. And you keep comparing what you're thinking to what it can be done and what you're doing to what is the concept.
We can say the same about the society of devotees.
Yes, and that was the exact point of the, you know, the whatever it is, the incident of the meltdown. Was this the very point? Is that devotees were refusing to apply the principle? They'll hear, but when it comes to manana, they'll take either the theoretical or the practical, and never the twain shall meet. And that refusal, that adamant refusal to let the two come together, that was what we were upset about. The questions and points, those are easy enough to deal with. Those aren't a problem. I mean, other than it takes up so much time, and you know, which is not, the course is not meant for that. But it's not that those topics aren't valuable topics, and it's not that those aren't valuable discussions. It was that they're not trying to put the two aspects together. The conceptual of it, the tattva, and then the practical application in the religion. And so then the weakness that they see in the religion, I don't understand this, is it's explained in the tattva. Or we get into the tattva, and then what about the practical application? So that's the point, is that this course is supposed to bring about manana. And then on your own, you'll develop Nididhyasana. The course can't give you that. It can give you the tools. You have the knowledge, and you have the contemplation how to apply it. So that's what the point of having the theory and then showing the example, it gives you both. But then when we just take the example and go off on that, or we just take the theory and go off on that, then we have a problem. Does that make sense? Is that? Yeah. Yes.
Maharaj, since we talked for quite some time, then can a person be a teacher without this conceptual understanding of the topic? When he's caught in just, you know, he sees many, many details, but the concept itself is really difficult for him to grasp.
That means if he has no understanding of the concept, then he can teach the students and they'll get the same that they get. In other words, if they're very good at the details, he can make students that are very good at details.
Yes. But still, they won't understand the details.
They won't understand from the teaching the concepts. They may on their own contemplate it and understand, but they won't have gained that from the teacher.
Because we're talking about conditioning, basically. It's a conditioned nature.
Yes, like that. But it's also impurities. Because the point is the conditioned nature itself, seeing that it's made by Krishna itself, doesn't have any problem. The whole Varnashram system is consistent with being a pure devotee. They practice it. I mean, they follow it. They don't practice it. They follow it in the spiritual world. It's their natural lifestyle. But it's the devotion that's the main. So they're functioning on the pure platform. While here, we have ideas of what we want to get in karma and jnana from the religious process. You know, that's the difficulty. We have our idea of what I should get. And because of that, then there's problems. So that's where the weakness comes, that's where the doubts come, the misgivings come. Because, you know, am I going to get, like in the last class, the one devotee asked, you know, is about what we're following is Krishna consciousness. Where's all the material facility that's supposed to, you know, it says that, you know, devotee will have all facility, all this, you know, it's like, it says favorable to the desires of the devotee, but my desires aren't being fulfilled, so what's wrong with this process? You know, rather than, you know, what am I doing wrong that this is how it works, why I'm not getting this. You know, it's like, but it's all about there's something wrong with the process, something wrong with that, you know, so, and how are leaders of the society going to correct this?
That's what we just read, remember, about the rain, that they did the sacrifice and rain didn't go.
Yes, and so then they went, yeah. So that they're not understanding that they're lacking. Their weakness. So that's the. So.
Just quick, I found this word miyate.
Oh.
And, I don't know what is the form in English, but it means verb. Path. I don't know what it means.
Path.
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 Path. Full stop.
P-A-S-S.
That is passive.
Pass.
Huh?
Passive.
Okay, passive, yes.
Okay, so it's the passive tense of maya. Maya.
Be fixed or
mayate. It's the passive. Yes, so one's active, one's passive.
So it means be fixed or else be measured.
Yes.
That's just specifically this word miyate.
Okay. Be fixed. And then mayate has a broader, yes, because it's active.
Yes.
Okay. So then, okay. Take this, in other words, the static and the dynamic.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And then those will come from a root back behind that. So yeah. Okay. Thank you. Good.
Yes.
Okay. You have about 15 seconds. Otherwise, you wait till next class.
So because of that condition nature, the services are there, but. Because of that only is for me, I'm not able to do that services are coming, but the conditioning is stopping me. How is
that? The point is you have to pray to Krishna and engage in the process. You know, more chanting, hearing, associating with devotees. Whatever you can do within devotional service, see that you're steady at that. That will then allow other areas to manifest. In other words, start somewhere. It's just like you have to clean the house. The whole house is dirty. You have to start somewhere. So wherever you're comfortable starting, you start there, and then from there it'll just expand till you get the whole house. So don't worry that, okay, you started in the kitchen instead of starting in the living room. You know. Okay? Yeah? That makes sense?
but so many services are there, they are coming to me also.
Yes, and then you do what you can.
Do it and not study also.
You do what you can, you make a balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to study a bit, otherwise, it means if there's a festival, of course, maybe for 3 days you're not studying. You're just doing the festival. But the point is then after that it goes back to normal. So when it's normal, you have a regular schedule. And when there's a festival and something special, then you do extra stuff. You know, it's not like you're got up at midnight and go to, and then fast until midnight, it's not that, after Janmashtami, then every day we fast until midnight and have a big feast at midnight. You know? Not a bad program, but, yeah.
Some other people already following that program, so we can.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, some go to bed, some go to the party, and some go to the after party, right?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Salaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Gaur Vrindavan ki.